I was at the Circa. Took me worka. The world would be my lab.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, coming up in 15 minutes, we got Scott McLuhan, former 49er general manager of the Washington football team, and instrumental in the drafting of Frank Gore, who just made it into the 49ers Hall of Fame last week.
Congrats.
We're going to talk to Scott about that and also about the 49ers in the NFL. We started the show talking about how at least through two games, the passing is way, way down. And trying to figure out whether that's going to continue or not.
And we got some sound. We'll play before we get out of here, Steiny, from the great Mel Kiper Jr., who talked about his thoughts on just where the state of offensive football is. He went in.
So one of the things that has come up, and I've brought it up too, is the idea of, well, this will be good to see Purdy without the weapons, because at some point he's going to have to be a quarterback of the Niners without these weapons. But Emmanuel Acho, the foundation?
No, the facility.
The facility.
Yeah.
Facility, and we've had him on a few times.
Show.
He thinks that narrative is complete hogwash. Let's hear him explain why, and then we can get into it, Gil.
Want to dismantle the myth that the Niners are going to be without talent once Brock Purdy gets paid.
Because he still do got it.
Like, for those that don't realize, Talanoa Hufanga was a fifth-round pick, All-Pro. Fred Warner, a third-round pick, future Hall of Famer. George Kittle was a fifth-round pick, All-Pro. The Niners know how to draft, particularly late in the draft. So to say that the Niners will be without talent once Brock Purdy gets paid is ignorant, it's uneducated, it's uninformed, and it has a lack of research as it pertains to the San Francisco 49ers. Not only will they have talent, even when Brock Purdy gets paid, Kyle Shanahan is the machine. Yeah. Y'all realize Jordan Mason, Christian McCaffrey's backup running back, undrafted Jordan Mason, is on pace for 2,100 yards? No, he won't get there. Mm. But if he started all season, he'd probably get to 1,600.
Yeah.
So it's not even like the Niners need all of these stars. They went to the Super Bowl without Christian McCaffrey, with Fred, with Matt Breida, Jeff Wilson, and Raheem Mostert.
What do you think about that, Gil?
I mean, that's our guy, friend of the show, but I just said to the last caller that called and said he was mad at me for making him agree with you that, again, I'm not saying Deebo Samuels grow on trees, but to Acho's point, they do draft, they find diamonds in the rough. There are going to be, you know, there's going to be more talent. It's not going to be Brock Purdy by himself. Now, I will say this, Acho kind of ignored the rat on the table, which is, what are we going to see these next 3, 4, 5 games? Does McCaffrey even come back? Hopefully he does, but if he's not, what is Brock Purdy? And that, you know, is what I would just throw back to Acho, like, okay, I get what you're saying about the draft and they're going to add, but what if you don't get the likes of a Deebo? What
exactly.
Or Hufanga? So
exactly.
That's a big deal.
I mean, you know,
he's given the benefit of the doubt, Steiny.
You talked about, yeah, these guys they can find some diamonds in the rough, but Christian McCaffrey's not a diamond in the rough. Christian McCaffrey's a superstar. Like, Deebo Samuel's not really a diamond in the rough. He's a great offensive player. Brandon Ayuk, say what you want. He's paid like a top five receiver. So I get what Acho's saying. It's not like they're going to take the field without wide receivers in 3 years, but I just think when you talk about it like that, you're not acknowledging that the weapons they have right now are probably the best in the league in terms of the names and the production. So, yeah, there'll be talent around Brock Purdy in 5 years.
But
will there be players like this in 5 years?
Yeah, I like that, Steiny. It sounds like you're saying, you correct me if I'm wrong, partner, the clock is ticking in a sense of being able to have all these luxuries at one's disposal.
Yeah, and it's gonna run. The time's running. Time will run out at the end of the year when they have to make a decision on Brock Purdy. Priest in Palo Alto,
our guy.
What's up, Priest? How you doing?
All right. How you doing, fellas?
Talk to
Thanks
us.
For taking my call. Yeah, I hear everybody that, you know, especially in doing the Super Bowl, they want Kittle in patterns to catch more passes.
Yeah.
But you gotta understand, are the 49ers a running team or a passing team? Which one would you say?
Running.
They are a running team. They are a run-first play-action team. They play action off the run all the time. That's who they are. He can't be in the pattern in that instance. He can't, if they, or they'll lose their identity. If they had a guy like the guy down in L.A. or what do you call it? The guy you like, Kirk Cousins. I think he would throw more, a lot more. But and you see a lot more of that. But because he's got guys who has, and he knows it more than anybody, they have limitations. That's why he runs that offense like that, because it fits the guy. Are you going to take a square peg and try to put it in a round hole, or are you going to go ahead and leave the square peg in the square hole? You're asking him to do something and play left-handed. So he's not going to do that. You know what I mean? It just makes sense to keep doing what he's doing because it's winning. And it complements all the talent that he has on the field. So asking him to do that is asking him to change the process.
Priest,
so he's not going to do that.
Well, you're on fire. I would just say this to that, because I can't second guess Kyle. But the bottom line in the real world, and you know this, it's about winning it all. And what I would say to what you just said, you are right. But there are times you have to evolve. And if I got number 85, who I feel like is a physical mismatch, and that Super Bowl just last February in Nevada came down to an end zone target, I want 85, throw the ball to 85. And the reason I bring that up real quick is maybe I need to reevaluate how we're doing things in certain situations, to where 85, I'm not doing the Chiefs a favor by not having the threat of Kittle in the most inopportune time of the game running in the end zone. That's what I'm talking about. How
I got you, bro.
And I hear you too, because you're making points.
But what I'm saying is this. That's not why they haven't won a Super Bowl. That is not why. I think people are confused. But the reason the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year is because of their defense.
Yeah.
People think because they talk quarterback all day long. Watch Kansas City play those last three games against Baltimore, against the 49ers, and even before that. Patrick Mahomes did not play well. He did not play well. They should have got beat. They won because of their defense. Those two coordinators, I'm telling you, what's making Kansas City cut above everybody else, the defensive coordinator, the offensive coordinator, and the quarterback. That's what it is. It's the combo of take one of those out, and they don't make it.
Good stuff, Priest. Thanks, Priest. Got to move along, but I'm
like, Mahomes was spectacular driving him down, Priest. I get what you're saying. That was probably the worst. And Steve Young told us, you know, that was the greatest time to get the Chiefs, just to the whole rest of the league. But the bottom line, Stein, is we saw the great Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Kelce and the rest of the gang drive down, convert fourth downs, even in a season where their defense pretty much helped them do what they did and kept them in that game in the Super Bowl. But so I can't ignore the greatness of Mahomes, which was on display in overtime and to get the game to overtime.
Yeah, I mean, I
hear you, though. They, you know, that wasn't their best offense, and the defense was their strength.
Yeah, I kind of agree just with the overall concept that Kyle Shanahan wants to run the football. That's first and foremost the thing he wants to do most. And in order to run the football best, George Kittle's a great blocker, and he tries to take advantage of that aspect of his game. Not that he can't catch, but I think that he'd rather have the 49ers run than Kittle being more of a target.
Let me get run though. You know what? You just had me click, Stoney. So I just want to hear your thoughts. So Brock Purdy in last year's Super Bowl threw the ball. He was 23 of 38. They ran the ball 31 times. So he threw more than he passed.
And they lost. I'm not saying that's why they lost, but they threw more than they passed Sunday. They lost.
Well,
888-957-9570. Scott McLuhan coming up in 5 minutes. Former Niners and Washington general manager. He drafted Frank Gore, who was recently inducted into the Hall of Fame. And he was also a Super Bowl executive with the Seattle Seahawks. Oh, remember Mike wanted us to answer, what's arm strength? Remember, he got all mad before.
Bonte had the guy's jersey on that was had arm strength. That was the great Dan Marino.
Who's got the best arm in football right now? Arm,
best arm in football. Justin Herbert, you can come up because you're a candidate. I'd also say Evan, help me out.
Josh Allen.
There's a winner.
Okay. I just trying to answer the question for Mike.
He can throw the football like it's a rock.
Anthony Richardson.
Who?
Guy for the Colts. Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, but get some that man, I'm down on him.
So essentially what we're saying is big arm quarterbacks stink. You can't throw long. You don't need a big arm quarterback. You keep playing two safety high.
Big Ben had a big arm. He threw it deep.
And he could also extend plays. And that's
I'm getting trouble off the field. Now you know what that was.
He didn't
unfair.
Get enough trouble.
Yeah, you're right. That was
He didn't get.
I got you.
Someone on the text line wants to text. He texted it in on the Xfinity Mobile text line. That
if
we're
it's
ignoring.
About my attire, I don't want to hear it.
No, all it's right. About. It's about. Are we just ignoring the fact that the offensive line has been bad? The first two games.
Well, you got six field goals. I came in here, people wanted to throw eggs at me because I was panicking. Come in, they won. But, yeah, you got it handed to you collectively. Sunday in Minnesota, six sacks, Donnie, that is not good. But I'm with the previous caller. I think I'm more concerned about the defensive side of the ball. And Hufanga coming back, you talk about, and I don't know where he's at, Donnie, his conditioning, but the fact that he's back. And
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If he is what he's been, I mean, that's a big deal for that secondary, man.
Here's the 925 on the Xfinity Mobile text line. You guys need to acknowledge how bad the offensive line has been for the Niners, especially up the middle. That's why Brock has so many guys right in his face.
Well, we came in again after the Jets. Dominic Pooney had – the pressures were minimal across the board. Trent didn't have one pressure. That was against the Jets.
Right.
And Brian Flores, they presented a different problem.
So if the offensive line's good one day and bad the next,
no, I'm not.
Then they're not very good.
No, I'm just stating the fact. Like, what do you do? You watch this Sunday to see if they get it fixed.
Yeah, that's all you can do. That's all you can do. Sunday, 1:25.
Yeah.
San Francisco 49ers against the L.A. Rams. No Christian McCaffrey. No Debo Samuel. Of course, the Rams are playing with a bunch of guys out also. And we'll see how the San Francisco 49ers fare on Sunday. All right, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Joining us right now, Scott McLuhan, former 49er and Washington GM. He drafted Frank Gore, who was recently inducted into the 49er Hall of Fame. He's also got a Super Bowl ring as an executive with the Seattle Seahawks. Scott, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Not a problem, guys. How you guys doing?
All right.
We're doing great. What'd you see in Frank Gore?
A good football player.
What makes him one of your favorites? I know he's one of your favorites.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story. When he was a freshman at Miami, that was my first year with Green Bay when I was doing the Southeast. And I went to a night game, and they had Edgerrin James. They had a bunch of players. Both sides of the ball. I mean, probably 10 guys got drafted, I think, that year, whatever it was. And most of the time I leave after the third quarter, you know, because the game's over and they were winning. They were up big time. They took all their starters out. But I stayed. Watched Frank make two runs. I'm like, who in the heck is this guy? So I, you know, back then you had little guides, you know, whatever you buy, not media guides, but the, you know, when you walk in the stadium, you'd buy stuff, you know, and you see through the roster and all that, and I'm like, true freshman, holy smokes, he's better than Edgerrin James, and of course Edgerrin is the first rounder and all that good stuff, you know, very good player. Don't get me wrong, very good player. But Frank showed me stuff and he's a true freshman. I'm just like, wow, this guy's on my list now. You know, and of course he couldn't come out, you know, for 3 years, you know, but it was just impressive how natural a runner he was. It was really impressive.
Scott, that's awesome. I got to ask you this, man. We had the luxury to go to the game Monday night, and I was like, I was starving. Football is back. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, I just got caught up in the moment of, you know, Frank's getting inducted. He's putting on that red jacket. And again, you drafted him, but when you got that news that he was going into that ring of honor, how did that feel?
Very proud, very proud. And, you know, not because of myself. I was lucky enough to be able to draft him. It's because of what he did and the kind of person he is. You know, we've been friends to this day. We talk weekly. And he's quality. But the thing about it was, partner, back then, I got there in 05, we weren't a very good team. I mean, we were trying, you know, but our defense got built quicker than our offense got built. But he was our go-to after year one. I mean, he was the only guy. He was our. They do 9-man boxes just because they know if they stop Frank, they're going to beat us. They knew it. And that son of a gun never, ever, ever backed down. You know what? He never complained about nothing. I mean, he's just quality.
Scott McLuhan joining us on 95.7 The Game, former 49er general manager and also Washington general manager. Recently, I was messing around on the internet, and I saw it. I'd forgotten they even had a game, a college all-star game, where the college all-stars would play a pro team. And it was a video of Walter Payton playing against the Steelers. And Bill Belichick was breaking it down, and he kind of did what you did about Frank Gore. Saw a couple plays and you kind of knew right away. When you're scouting, do you look for something in particular, or does something particular jump out at you?
Well, there's certain traits for each position. There's no doubt about it. Certain traits. You know, size matters, speed matters, quickness matters, instincts are over the top. And the one thing Frank would do, we'll get on charters flying back home after games on the road. And I'd sit and talk to him. And he would tell me that the time on the clock, who the linebacker was that he beat on the first cut. And he says, but I'm looking through him. I'm looking towards the safety or the corner. He says, I'll make my second cut before I make my first cut. I'm like, no kidding. But he could, his mind was so good, he recalled the time on the clock, the player's number. Was he tough, not tough? Was he worried about him? And he's like, no, I knew I'm going to beat him. So I'm looking through him already for my second cut. I'm like, wow. A lot of players can't do that, just so you know. A lot of players, they don't remember the time on the clock. But he would remember, you know, the thing about it, he wouldn't remember names. He just remembered jersey numbers. Yeah. He watched so much tape, you know, and then he got in the games. He just, he knew exactly what he was and who he was and what he had to do to beat him.
Scott, when you hear, you know, the news that passing is down only through 2 weeks, but there's a lot of football games, what goes through your mind? Are you ready to say, you know what, that means something, or you need to see more? Why is passing down this season through 2 weeks in your estimation?
I don't know. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. I mean, and there's so much football to be played. It's not even funny. And you're going to have stuff go on. Don't get me wrong. You want certain starters to play better. You want backups to step up. But you got to stay in there and fight the fight. It's not easy, you know, but don't make it harder on yourself by affecting people in a negative manner when you know you're going to need them at some juncture. You know, because, you know, same thing when we had Alex, you know. He struggled early, and it's partly my fault because I wasn't building the O-line well enough, giving enough receivers or whatever. But you can't give up. You know, these kids, all they want to do is play football. That's what they live for. You know, and once you give up on them, you know, there's a confidence level. It's like, well, I remember towards the end of my career in San Fran, you know, I brought in David Carr, yeah. You know, and he told me, he said, you know, when I got to Houston, you know, that was their first year and he was the first pick and all that stuff. And he said, I walked to the line of scrimmage. I called the huddle. I'd call the play in the huddle, watch the line of scrimmage. He says, I wouldn't read the defense. All I was worried about was which way am I going to run? Am I going left? Am I going right? You know, and he says, all my mechanics went south. My confidence went south. Hmm. He says, I was never the same player since.
Interesting. Ever. Interesting. Scott McLuhan, yeah. Join us on 95.7 The Game. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Obviously, you know what's going on here in San Francisco. I was wondering if you could give us a sense of kind of what John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are trying to figure out. They got a quarterback who came out of nowhere, who's making $1 million. They've got high-priced personnel offensively around him. They're going to have to make a decision on what, if anything, they're going to pay Brock Purdy. How do you figure out what to pay a guy like Brock Purdy when he's surrounded with unbelievable talent? Is it a tough ask to figure out what he may be without that team around him?
You know, from a standpoint, it feels like, you know, Scott, you know, I get it. Receiver, you can find receivers. You know, every year nowadays in the last 5 years, there's 25, 30 receivers go in the draft. Quarterback, you identify not just game by game, but during the week of practice in the locker room. And if you have a good one, which they do, then you got to pay it. You know, and the market's the market, and that's nothing they can do about it. It's been set. And it's going to keep going up and up and up, and the cap going up and up and up. You know, it's just part of it. But,
right.
You know, if you have a leader, you have a smart guy, you have a good teammate, you got a guy that makes plays on the field in the system you run, then you got to pay it. You know, the good thing for them is the fact that they drafted well. The bad thing is they got too many good players at one time that they have to pay. You know, but that's a good problem to have, really good problem to have.
Yeah.
Scott, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you about what's going on around the league with young quarterbacks. And we're seeing Caleb Williams from USC, he's doing his thing, or getting the opportunity in Chicago along with Daniels in D.C. The Patriots chose to go with the veteran, Jacoby Brissett, and Bryce Young. That kind of, like, they pulled the plug or benched him. Can you share with us your thoughts mainly on that one, on what happened in Carolina? Did they give up too soon?
Well, they haven't given up yet. They haven't given up. I know Dave Canales, the head coach. I worked with him in Seattle. He was one of our assistant coaches. I know him well. But they're not giving up on him. They just need a reset, you know. And again, there's 11 and 11. You know, it's not 1 on 11. You know, and very few quarterbacks can do it by themselves. Very, very few in our lives. You know, we got a handful. He needs more support around him, 100%, offensive line-wise, receiver-wise, running game-wise, because there's only so many quarterbacks that can do it by themselves, and he's not one of those guys. Now, he's proved he's a winner. He's proved that he can win in big games from college, you know, and that's vital. You know, in the SEC, if you're going through the SEC and you're rocking and rolling games every weekend, you're doing something right. I don't think they're giving up on them, but with the young quarterbacks, you know, that bear, it's tough to handle just from the standpoint of being a quarterback. You know, and nowadays with all the spread stuff, they don't huddle. You know, everything's, you know, from the sidelines, all the signals. They call the play, boom. They throw to certain spots. It's all premeditated. But then in the NFL now, these D coordinators, they get paid too. And these guys are smart. And they're going to mess around with you. It's incredible. And, you know, it's you know, that's why you see so many fail. You know, especially ones they're taking early. Everybody said they're a bust, you know, and they end up playing whatever, 10 years, 12 years, but mainly as a backup. You know, but it's so unique. There's so much strategy involved in it with the defense nowadays. And they're figuring out these spread offenses. And you're going one back, no back sets, they're coming. They're coming to get you. And you know what? And these quarterbacks aren't going to last long. You know, I think that's one of the reasons they worry about Bryce in Carolina. Is he going to stay healthy?
Right.
You know, I mean, you fine to go 3-4 receiver sets, whatever, that's fine. You know, but you better get the ball out quick. And if not, because these defenses they're addressing right away, and they're coming. They're coming after you, and they're like, you know, I don't care if he completes 2 or 3 passes in the first quarter. Hurt him.
Right.
Put him on his back.
Yeah.
You know, and then that changes the entire game. Now you got number 2 coming in who's had no reps, you know, during the week, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, now you take over. And it's like, the game's over.
Right.
You got him. You got him right where you want him.
Hey, Scott, thank you so much for joining us. Really good stuff. And once again, nice find with Frank Gore.
I appreciate it. It wasn't me. It was him. He was the player. I just sat back and watched.
All righty. Thank you very much, Scott. Appreciate it.
Scott McClure. All right, you have a good day.
Yes, sir. Scott McLuhan on the River Islands guest line. By the way, he said one thing that I have never heard before, and it's changed my opinion. I'll tell you what it is on the other side. But first, download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
Slap me for what I'm doing.
If I were your program director, I would fine you every time you make a reference to a Pennsylvania high school.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
God, I hate to say it after he ripped me like that, but I watched the whole Colorado State game this weekend. I don't care what anybody says. Ross Tucker is really good.
Oh, man.
He's really good.
I was telling you.
He was doing the analyst work, and he is...
He should be doing it on Sunday, too, Stoddy. Maybe that's down the future.
He does. Well, you're right. He does some sideline for the Eagles. I know that.
He was good. He also does color analysis. He was on the Bills game week 1.
There you go.
Yep.
For CBS.
Okay. Yeah, he's got a busy schedule. And he joins us every other week here on 95.7 The Game with yours truly and Guru. He does. We just had Scott McLuhan on, and I got to tell you, I may have missed something. I know, not the first time. But I threw the question to him about how are Kyle Shanahan and Lynch assessing the situation that they know is coming with Purdy getting paid, but he's also paying a lot of high-priced guys, and what do you do there? And, you know, when we talk about Purdy, is he good enough? And just take a listen to what McLuhan said, because after I heard this, I thought, kind of, well, that takes care of that. Take a listen.
Quarterback, you identify not just game by game, but during the week of practice in the locker room. And if you have a good one, which they do, then you got to pay it. You know, and the market's the market, and that's nothing they can do about it. It's been set, and it's going to keep going up and up and up, and the cap going up and up and up. You know, it's just part of it. But,
right. You
know, if you have a leader, you have a smart guy, you have a good teammate, you got a guy that makes plays on the field in the system you run, then you got to pay it. You know, the good thing for them is the fact that they drafted well. The bad thing is they got too many good players at one time that they have to pay. You know, but that's a good problem to have. Really good problem to have.
So, I guess I've been missing the boat. Again, not the first time. But when we've had our discussion, Goo, and I've listened to all the discussions about Brock Purdy and what do you pay him, and you know, is he a $60 million quarterback, and can he make plays, and what kind of arm does he have, and does he process, da-da-da-da-da. It came down to Scott McLuhan saying, you have to decide whether to pay a guy mostly, if you have a good one, if he's smart, if he's a good teammate, if he makes plays on the field in your system, he prepares, good teammate, you gotta pay him. And to my way of thinking, when he listed those characteristics of Brock Purdy, it just kind of hit me. Well, he's right, they gotta pay him. Not just on his play, but how he's respected in that locker room, and how much of a leader he is, and how much he's kind of taken over this football team.
Right. It's funny. I say it, and it doesn't resonate, and then Scott says it. I get it. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's predicated on his play, Stoney. You can't lead or they don't respect you unless you can ball first, and that's what Purdy's shown.
888-957-9570 is the number. Scott McLuhan just joined us. I want to take a listen to this Mel Kiper sound about this too high safety and what he wants.
Well, I grew up with the best of the National Football League, 60s, 70s, into the 80s. You're talking about deep shots, right? The go route, the nine route post. You're talking about Terry Bradshaw in a Super Bowl hitting John Stallworth. You see Leroy Irvin diving, right? Just off his fingertips. There's the receiver. They laid it out there, right? Hit the receiver in stride. 65-yard touchdown. It's a beautiful thing to watch. That's what I want to see brought back to the National Football League. Okay? Check down kings, bubble screen sensations, boring football. Uh-uh. Game management. Manager, I get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on. I grew up with John Unitas, Fran Tarkington, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica. You know, you talk about quarterbacks, Joe Namath. It was just right. Brett Favre when he was doing what he did. Burt Jones with the Baltimore Colts. You think about those quarterbacks who would throw the ball down the field. I'd say what Bradshaw did was Stallworth and Swan, Roger Staubach. That's what I want to see brought back. Say, well, you can't do that, right? Well, you got a five-yard rule with the quarterbacks, right? The Mel Blount rule, right? Now with the push thing with Hurts, you got to be a yard back now. So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was at games where I'm thinking, hey, too high? They're out in outer space. Two, I couldn't even find us. So they're playing with nine guys, right? Where are the other two? Oh, the other two? They're so daggone far back, and even though they're part of damn play. I'm telling you, we got to change this thing, and we got to have, hey, you can warn them. Enough radio. They come up. Hey, guys, you got to get up a little bit, right? You're too far back. Warn those safeties. But you got to figure out, competition committee, somebody, Dano, somebody's got to figure out what that depth is, but it's too far back right now. The NFL is being ruined by these too high safeties.
Tell us how you really feel, Mel.
Does it feel like the NFL's being ruined by the two high safeties?
Not to me. He just brought it to my opinion, and I thought about all those guys. But I'll say this. Maybe it's just to bring it home here. I remember Jerry Rice. I know we got into it, Stoney, stretching the D. Terrell Owens stretching the D. And for whatever reason, Ayuk and Debo, guys that I think can do some things down the field, we don't see much of it. We don't even see an attempt. Like, you know, it doesn't ruin my pleasure of watching the game, but Stoney, I love the deep passes. And I guess all of a sudden now, if you don't got Randy Moss or Justin Jefferson, there can't be a deep ball, but I just come from the school of keep the defense honest. We running everything in the playbook, regardless of who we got at wide out. So, you know, him listing off all those greats that would throw a deep. I know this, the Niners, they're kind of intermediate, but they don't stretch it.
I mean, a couple things here. Isn't what he's talking about essentially trying to, like, institute the shift?
Perfect.
Or outlaw the shift in baseball.
Perfect.
And then secondly, I would say, let's see if offenses react to the way defenses are playing, if they're playing too high safety. And I can't even believe I'm using the phrase too high safety.
Well, a lot of these formations, Donnie, they're going five wide. They're spreading you out. They're doing it in college. So it's almost like, what else can they do? The defense.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's go to, if you want to jump into the conversation, we brought it up early in the show that the passing numbers are way down, at least through 2 weeks in the NFL, trying to figure out if that's anything to put stock in to, or is it just the first 2 weeks, or their team's rusty because they didn't have a lot of training camp. Mel Kiper obviously playing, or talking about the two deep safeties. And does that affect your viewing enjoyment? Guru and I said we hadn't really noticed that passing was down. Evan said he's been watching games, particularly the Chargers under Jim Harbaugh now, and he's obviously doing things a little different. So,
and remember, if I can, Stoney, that first Sunday night game was the Rams visiting Detroit. It felt like they were throwing the ball every down. So, you know.
Let's go to Devon in an Uber. Hey, Devon, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys, how y'all doing today, man?
Doing well.
I'm calling because I'm only 34 years old, gentlemen. This may be one of the worst takes I have ever heard from Mel, man. Like, I used to play ball. I played at a decent level, practice squad for the Seahawks 2012,
okay.
Right? I'm all right. And I'm as a former running back, give us the competition. There's a lot of players that, although they appreciate the safety aspect, they miss the fear of getting killed because that's what we grew up playing. You know what I'm saying? They're already taking away, they're hidden away from the defense. I mean, what do you want to do? Just play just offense on the field only? You know, you're taking away the contact. You're taking away the gladiator, the grit and the high alert, the intensity, man. Like, you're killing us, Smalls. Like, that's how I feel. You're talking about we don't want you guys to scheme. We got Tyreek Hill running a 1.340-yard flat. We got guys in the league that are insane athletes, and you're trying to take away something to combat that. So I love you guys, and I know it's not your guys' take, and thank God, because I love you guys. Well, I've always listened to y'all. Well, but this is insane. Worst take of football.
Well, let me throw this at you just to take the other point of view. What about those people who say, you know, this game has gotten bigger, stronger, faster. These guys are in better shape and all that kind of stuff. And if we regulate the game like we did 30 years ago, the injuries are going to go up and we're not going to have as good of a product.
So what I would say to that, right, the injuries going up, I understand that there's a form of compromise that has to go on. This just isn't it. You know? Like, we're not going to – no, this can't be it because, we moved the safeties in, and now after that, 10 years later, hey, you can't blitz. You know, what's next? If that's the case, stop guards from pooling and getting a head start and crashing into guys, they're over, you know, they got 80 pounds on, 100 pounds on. Like, are we going to start doing that? Like, what's going on, man? We're going to start playing football or something. I don't know what we're going to do, man. Like, they're trying to kill the game that I love and that I'll tell you what, I can't walk like I should be walking, right? I've had an Achilles. This is what stopped me from staying at a
Devin, we lost you.
So he's going to list off his injuries. Achilles was coming, it sounds like, Sonny.
Yeah. I mean,
Mel's trending, but he sounded like he meant it, Sonny. So it's not going to happen, but he got off a tape.
Yeah. 510 says it's simply because nobody plays in the preseason anymore. Well,
that's the leader in the clubhouse for me.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. We'll find out more about that, you know, in the upcoming weeks.
Scott said it had only been two short sample size, too, basically.
And the one thing, too, and it'll never happen, but why don't you just go back to the old rules where you could actually hit and just go back to a 14-game schedule? The problem is you can't keep increasing the game.
Well, that's about to happen.
And not expect injuries.
Yeah, 18 is coming. The 18th game is coming.
Yeah. Greg Cosell was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday, and he was being asked a lot about Brock Purdy and how he'll do without McCaffrey and without Deebo Samuel, and whether or not the team will look the same, whether or not they'll call the same types of plays. Here's what Greg Cosell said about what he's expecting on Sunday from the Niners.
In terms of what they can do going forward, with what they can do with motions and formation diversity, that'll probably be limited to some degree because Samuel and McCaffrey are the two guys that really do that and give all those looks to the defense. So, again, I'm not, you know, in the meetings. I don't know how Kyle coaches it. Maybe it's possible that the players who will go in can do this stuff. In terms of the tactics of it, they probably can't do it as well because Samuel and McCaffrey, that's what they do. But I would imagine there'll be some limitations to what they can do from a motion perspective, and they're one of the highest percentage motion teams in the league, and from a, just a formation of multiplicity perspective.
Interesting. Interesting. So basically what he's saying is one of the strengths of Kyle. See, this it's another, just listening to that makes me look forward to that game, because we all heard and we all talk about how Kyle Shanahan's pre-snap motion is the best in football and it puts pressure on the defense and it confuses the defense. So I would say, let me get this straight. You're going to be down two of your star players. You can't use as much pre-snap motion. You're going to have Brock Purdy playing with less weapons. I mean, this has the recipe of getting a look at Brock Purdy in a way we haven't gotten to see him before.
Yeah, and it adds to the excitement. And then also there's another side of that coin, Donnie. To win this game Sunday against the Rams is your defense has got to get fixed, especially on third down. You got to get pressure. So you got to deal with that. I talked about the chessboard, and now you kind of taking the bishop and everything else off the board. Man, so if I'm the Rams, this is when you want to see the Niners offense. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean,
now you might not be able to do a damn thing about it, but this is when you want to see them. No, yeah. Deebo or McCaffrey.
Well, I mean, they're sitting there without
and
the two
Ayuk
best.
And Ayuk hadn't had training camp?
I mean, in fairness to the Rams, they don't have their two wide receivers, and both these teams are banged up. Yeah. I think most people would acknowledge the Rams are more banged up than the
they lose this, Donnie, the Rams would be 0-3.
Yep.
Jeez.
888-957-9570 is the number. I'm asking 49er fans about this specific game against the Rams. And ordinarily, I'd be looking forward to the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday like I always am, but I have to acknowledge I'm even more looking forward to this game because the 49ers are going to play this game a little shorthanded. And I want to see how they do. And I want to see how Brock Purdy does. And I want to see how Kyle Shanahan does. We all know this is a loaded roster, and we all know the rat on the table issue with Brock Purdy about, is he a function of the stars he plays with and the system he's in, or is he really a hell of a quarterback? It's probably a little of both, but I think we'll get a clearer view of it on Sunday. That's why I'm really looking forward to this game. The other thing is, you actually get to see this offense without McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel, and at least you're playing against a team that is absolutely positively decimated by injury. So you're not going up against whoever the best defense is in the NFL.
Yeah, and yeah, I got to double back to this because you mentioned hearing it from Scott, Steiny, you kind of missed something. So do you now still feel, because it sounds like you're still excited about seeing Brock, but the implications on if we see bad Brock these three games or however many games it lasts where he's without these weapons, does that now change your viewpoint at the end of the day of what you do with that said information?
No, he says this is all based on the premise that the quarterback you're dealing with is good. And if he's good and he's a leader, you got to pay him. So I know Brock's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think we'll all get a better sense of He's got more. More is going into the resume over the next 2 or 3 weeks, and it's in a way that hasn't gone into his resume before. So we're all going to be watching something new on Sunday, and I'm looking forward to it. I really am. Are you guys? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Dog Trainer in Milpitas. What's up, Dog Trainer? Dog Trainer in Milpitas.
Oh, no.
Probably training the dog, Steiny.
Yeah. DLou22 on the YouTube chat says, Steiny, why do you say the 49ers have a loaded roster? I think that's a term that most people use to describe the 49ers roster. In fact, 49er fans lead the league in talking about how good their roster is.
Yeah, it's been loaded for a while.
Yeah, I mean, conventional wisdom out here in the Bay with 49er fans is they have the best running back in football. They have the best Swiss Army knife in football. They have the best left tackle in football. They have the best defensive end in football. They have the best middle linebacker in football. They have one of the best tight ends in football. And who have I forgotten? Oh, Brandon Ayuk, only supposed to be one of the best receivers in the NFL and was paid like it. So that's why, DLou, I would say they have a loaded roster, and it's why I think most people would say they have a loaded roster. Evan gave me the stat the other yesterday, Goo. Last 3 years, no teams had more Pro Bowlers and All Pros than the Niners the last 3 years. So
there it is, right there.
That would show you it's a loaded roster.
Yeah, and that's not that vote or those accolades don't come from 49er fans. That's from abroad. And I know I've seen it, and that's why I'm a bit frustrated just for Niner fans that they can't kick the door in. But like you said, this is uncharted waters here, territory with no Debo, no C-Mac, a contract year for Brock Purdy, and can we call Jordan Mason a young talent? And let's see him do it. And I can't wait to see how the disbursement of the carries are given. Or is it going to just be Jordan Mason to do it all day long? Like, that wouldn't shock me. I wouldn't agree with it. But if we come in here Monday and Gooey had 29 carries and nobody else touched it once or twice, okay.
49er fans, how are you watching this game on Sunday? Are part of you or a group of you excited about the team you're going to watch with the quarterback who's going to do it? Or are you a little bit? Anybody dreading it? Anybody worried?
What if I told you Kyle might be? He'll never say it, but I mean, come on now. It's one thing preparing him for the Vikings, and we saw that when Debo played, had 100 yards. He's not even out there. I got to believe this is going to be a difficult game plan to put together.
I mean, in a crazy kind of way, I think Kyle's personality.
He likes this?
Yeah.
Well,
he's not scared of it, but like Kyle Shanahan knows if they go in there with McCaffrey and Debo and blow out the Rams, people are going to say nothing to see here. But if they go in there and handle the Rams without Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey, and they follow it up with another win against the Patriots. And then, I don't know who they play game five. McCaffrey won't be playing in that one. But if the 49ers rip off three straight wins, I mean, that'll be really impressive to me.
That's what you want. They would have the Cardinals game five, Steiny.
Arizona, they look to be better this
here
year.
In the Bay.
So 888-957-9570 is the number. 49er fans, you're going down to SoFi Stadium on Sunday. By the way, what's the crowd going to be like down there? How many Niner fans?
And gold, like it always is.
Yeah, how many Niner fans are heading down to Southern California, and are they going to take over half or more of that building?
According to the early seats or ticket reports, 63% of purchase tickets have been from 49ers fans.
Wow.
Good God.
So it'll be like Levi South, as they say.
No doubt about it.
Levi South, as they say.
If you're a Ram player, how does that make you feel? A division foe?
I mean, I'm sure
it's been happening, so
I'm sure Ram players know that they are not even close to the top of the pecking order in LA sports. They probably know that. And so they probably have to deal with that. They're going to deal with it to a greater degree probably Sunday. So we'll see about that. 510, I think these next two games is a bit early to weigh everything on Brock. Kyle only has a week to prepare, and Brock only has a week to adjust. Give them a couple weeks of trial and error to put together a really solid game plan with the weapons he has. I can see a heavy run offense this weekend.
I would have said that last week going into the Viking game. That's just me.
Yeah.
And 20 carries, that's all.
Yeah, and the reality of the situation is they have a few weeks because they're going to play the next 3 weeks without Christian McCaffrey, and they're going to play definitely the next 2 weeks without Deebo Samuel. So what do you expect out of the 49ers in the next 2 to 3 weeks against the stretch of games they have? And how excited are you to watch Brock Purdy play without McCaffrey or Deebo Samuel, or do you look at it as though, yeah, it's kind of not as excited because those guys are not playing? 888-957-9570. That segment brought to you by Safeway.